The following program, produced by Temple University for WFIL and the Philadelphia Public Schools, is the nation's longest consecutive series of educational radio broadcasts presented by a commercial station. Time now for Studio Schoolhouse. Come with us for a visit to Storyland. And here to take us into the magic land of stories is your story lady, Miss Marguerite.
Hello, girls and boys. Welcome to Storyland. Don't you just love this time of year? I know I do. I like to look at the store windows and the homes all decorated for the holidays. And I like to hear people singing. And best of all, I like the stories that are told at this time of year. One of my favorites is the story of a little angel who had something very special happen to him. Listen to the story of The Littlest Angel. Once upon a time, oh, many, many years ago, as time is measured by men, but which was only yesterday in the celestial calendar of heaven, there was in paradise a most miserable, thoroughly unhappy, and utterly dejected cherub who was known throughout heaven as the Littlest Angel. He was exactly 4 years, 6 months, 5 days, 7 hours, and 42 minutes of age when he presented himself to the venerable gatekeeper and waited for admittance to the glorious kingdom of God. Standing defiantly with his short legs wide apart, the Littlest Angel tried to pretend that he wasn't at all afraid, but his lower lip trembled, and a tear disgraced him by making a new furrow down his already tear-streaked face, coming to a halt at the very tip end of his small, freckled nose. But that wasn't all. For the kindly gatekeeper was entering the name in his great book, the Littlest Angel, having left home as usual without a handkerchief, tried to hide his tears by snuffing, a most unangelic sound that so unnerved the good gatekeeper that he did something he had never done before in all eternity. He blotted the page. From that moment on, the heavenly peace was never quite the same. The Littlest Angel soon became the despair of all the heavenly hosts. His shrill, ear-splitting whistle resounded at all hours through the golden streets. Yes, and on top of that, he inevitably and quite loudly sang off-key at the singing practice of the heavenly choir. Although these flaws in behavior might have been overlooked, the general appearance of the Littlest Angel was even worse than his conduct. It was first whispered among the seraphim and cherubim, and then said aloud among the angels and archangels, that he didn't even look like an angel. And they were all quite right. He didn't. His halo was permanently marked where he held on to it with one hot little chubby hand when he ran, and he was always running. And even when he stood still, it never behaved as a halo should. It was always slipping down over his right eye, or over his left eye, or else, just for pure meanness, slipping off the back of his head and rolling down some golden street just so he'd have to chase after it. And it was also reported, and never denied, that whenever he was nervous, which was most of the time, he bit his wingtips. Now anyone can easily understand why the Littlest Angel would sooner or later have to be corrected. And so on an eternal day of an eternal month in the year eternal, he was directed to present his small self before an angel of the peace. The Littlest Angel combed his hair, dusted his wings, and scrambled into an almost clean robe. and then with a heavy heart trudged his way to the place of judgment. At length and at last he slowly came to a doorway over which hung a pair of golden scales, meaning that heavenly justice was dispensed within. To the littlest angel's great surprise, he heard a merry voice singing. The singer, who was known as the Understanding Angel, looked down at the small culprit and said,
"Oh, so you're the one who's been making heaven so unheavenly, eh? Come here, my little cherub, and tell me all about it."
Suddenly, almost before he knew it, he was perched on the lap of the Understanding Angel.
"I'm sorry I've been naughty. You see, it's very hard. One minute I was a boy, and the next I was changed into an angel."
Yes, it is a bit hard, I admit, but the archangels tell me that you've been...
Yes, but no matter what the archangel said, I only swung once and I...
Just once?
Well, twice.
Are you sure?
Oh, all right. I swung three times on the Golden Gates, but that was just for something to do. That's the whole trouble. There just isn't anything for a small angel to do. Besides, I'm homesick.
Homesick? Don't you like paradise?
Oh, it's not that paradise isn't beautiful, but the earth is beautiful too.
Yes, I remember it well. But, tell me, cherub, what would make you most happy here in paradise?
There's a box. I left it under my bed back home. If only I could have that.
You shall have it.
And a fleet-winged heavenly messenger was instantly dispatched to bring the box to paradise. And then in all those timeless days that followed, everyone wondered at the great change in the littlest angel. For among all the cherubs in God's kingdom, he was the most happy. Then it came to pass that Jesus was to be born of Mary in Bethlehem of Judea. And as the glorious news spread through paradise, all the angels rejoiced. The angels and archangels, the seraphim and cherubim, the gatekeeper, the windmaker, yes, and even the halo smith, put aside their usual work to prepare their gifts for the infant. All but the littlest angel. He sat himself down on the topmost step of the golden stairs and anxiously waited for inspiration.
What can I give that would be most acceptable? Maybe I can compose a beautiful hymn. No, I can't. I haven't any musical talent. But maybe I could try writing a prayer that will live forever in the hearts of men. Oh, no, I can't do that either. What can a small angel give that will please the infant?
The time of the miracle was very close at hand when the littlest angel at last decided on his gift. Then on that day of days, he proudly brought it from its hiding place behind a cloud and humbly, with downcast eyes, placed it before the throne of God. It was only a small, rough, unsightly box, but inside were all those wonderful things that the child would treasure. A small, rough, unsightly box, lying among all those other glorious gifts from all the angels of paradise. When the littlest angel saw this, he suddenly knew that his gift was irreverent, and he wished that he could take back his shabby gift. It was ugly. It was worthless. If only he could hide it away before it was even noticed. Oh, but it was too late. The hand of God moved slowly over all that bright array of shining gifts, then paused, then dropped, then came to rest on the lowly gift of the littlest angel. The littlest angel trembled as the box was opened, and there before the eyes of all was what he offered to the Christ child. And what was his gift to the infant? Well, there was a butterfly with golden wings captured one bright summer day on the high hills above Jerusalem. The sky blue egg from the bird's nest in the olive tree that stood to shade his mother's kitchen door. Yes, and two white stones found on a muddy river bank where he and his friends had played like small beavers. And at the bottom of the box, a limp, tooth-marked leather strap, once worn as a collar by his little dog. The littlest angel wept hot, bitter tears. Why had he ever thought the box so wonderful? Why had he dreamed that such useless things would be loved by the infant? There was a dreadful silence in the heavenly city, silence so complete and undisturbed, save for the heartbroken sobbing of the littlest angel. And then a voice spoke, saying...
Of all the gifts, of all the angels, I find that this small box pleases me most. These are the things my son will know and love and cherish, and then regretful will leave behind him when his task is done. I accept this gift in the name of the child Jesus, born of Mary, this night in Bethlehem.
There was a breathless pause, and then the rough, unsightly box of the littlest angel began to glow with a bright, unearthly light. Then the light became a flame, and the flame became a radiant brilliance that blinded the eyes of all the angels. None but the littlest angel saw it rise from its place, and he, and only he, watched it stand and shed its clear, white, beckoning light over a stable where a child was born. There it shone on that night of miracles, and its light was reflected down the centuries deep in the heart of all mankind. Yet earthly eyes, blinded too by its splendor, could never know that the lowly gift of the littlest angel was what all men would call forever the shining star of Bethlehem. And there we have the story of The Littlest Angel by Charles Tazewell and published by the Children's Press. I hope you have a very happy holiday, girls and boys. We'll be back with you on January 7th with a delightful tale about a young Scotsman named Wee Gillis. Won't you join us then when once again we visit Storyland?
You have been listening to Storyland, broadcast in cooperation with the Philadelphia Public Schools. Heard in today's cast were Dale Zaris and Herb Smith. Sound by Ethel Goldberg. Production assistant Bill Stock. Technical assistance by Joe Taratero. Storyland was written and narrated by Marguerite M. Farley for the Philadelphia Board of Education. Directed and produced by Bill Reed. Executive producer is Herb Smith for the Communications Division of Temple University under the supervision of Dr. Dale Dusenberry. This program was transcribed for WFIL in Philadelphia.